Thank you for the... Okay, good evening, everyone. Bruchim Haboyim. Gemar Tov. Brishus Armor Da'asra. Rabbi Engel. And many friends. It's an exciting evening. First of all, Ben Kessel Asra, to gather together between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is in and of itself, it's a special event to have so many people come together. But especially for this evening, it's a unique privilege and a joy, because this is an experiment. And apparently, it's an experiment that has succeeded. Because I look around the room, and we all know ourselves, thank God, so many of us, we're doing the things. We're going through the various activities. I don't want to say we're going through the motions, but in some cases we are going through the motions, the mechanics of Yiddishkeit. But tonight, it's an opportunity to think about not so much the mechanics, the how and the what, but more the inside, the soul and the spirit of what we're all about. And it's something that we are, as a community, always trying to grapple with, because we've become accustomed to so many things, but at the same time, we need to constantly be inspired. And that's why we're here tonight, and I thank all of you for coming, first and foremost. I'd like to thank several people who are instrumental in making this evening happen, and that's first and foremost Sam Meadow. So Sam coordinated various logistical and technical and financial, all kinds of various details to make sure that this would happen. And the other primary person that we owe Hakaras HaTov to is Mr. David Strulowitz. Because David and I had various conversations about this topic, and we've been spending some time together talking about how to create an opportunity like this for us to come together and talk about the spirit and the soul. And it was really a lot of his vision that we see such an august group this evening. So thank you to David. Thank you to our Kollel fellows who are involved in various components of putting this together, and thank you to our presenters. So I hope everybody has, or most everyone has, a schedule. You will notice that this schedule is a little bit unusual, and that's because of some turbulence. It actually is more mechanical than it is turbulence, and that is that our beloved presenters, our guests, Rabbi Reifman and Rabbi Berg, as of not so long ago, were in New York because of did a little difficulty with their plane, but they are now here in Chicago. So we move the schedule around a little bit, and we're going to begin with our introductory remarks from Rabbi Micha Greenland, who is the regional director of Midwest NCSY, is also the president of the CRC. And then we're going to move to the breakout session. So just for those who are not familiar with the geography of Or Torah, or who haven't been here since Pucci's has been undone, so there are going to be, after this, three different locations for the first breakout session, which will be from 8:20, approximately, until 8:45. The first one is going to be in the side classroom, out the door, right to the left. That's Rabbi Yehoshua Karsh, How to Eat an Apple, A Meditative Exploration. Rabbi Josh Livingstone, the director of Maor Northwestern, is going to be over here at this side of the room, the Light of Shabbos. I'm going to be in the back classroom, which means you go all the way down until you hit the display case, make a right, then a left. Don't go into there's like a janitorial closet, go make a right. First right, and then you're there. The second set of sessions will be 5 minutes later at 8:50, and then we'll be welcoming Rabbi Reichman and Rabbi Berg. There will be one more special classroom. We'll call it the far back, the new classroom, a.k.a. Pucci's. So that classroom is going to be Rabbi Reichman, and then Rabbi Berg is going to be here in the Beis Medrash. So consult your schedules. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas, Rav Shmuel ben Avram, Moras Meita bas Elio v'Chanalea, Moras Anna Rivka bas Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zundel ben Rav Tzvi Hirsch, and Moras Chaya Hinda bas Avram Moshe. Our gathering together this time, Ben Kessel also should be an aliyah for their neshama, and it's a great honor to call upon my colleague and good friend, Rabbi Micha Greenland.
Thank you, Rabbi Brand. It's a pleasure, an honor, a little bit intimidating to to be able to address a crowd who is assembled specifically with the desire to work on spiritual issues. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder to face a crowd that's less interested in being inspired, less interested in thinking carefully about spiritual questions and seeing if we can ignite the questions than it is to try to provide any answers. But thankfully, I'm just introducing this evening's program, and hopefully we'll leave the difficult answers to the rest of the presenters. When I think about the questions that we're here to address, to me they mean mostly mindfulness, kavana. I think that's really at the heart of the question of connecting spiritually. That, as Rabbi Brand mentioned, we're going through the mechanics on a daily basis. We're doing all the right things. But the question is not what we're doing necessarily, but how we're doing it and with what frame of mind. Are we really present? Are we really connecting? And you would think that this is maybe a challenge that we're facing in 21st century Jewry, specifically in America, and that this problem did not exist 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. But I'd like to read you a quote, something that was written around 700 years ago. Tanu Rabbanan, this is actually a quote that was 1900 years ago, but the crux of it that's even driving the point home even further is 700 years ago. Hamispalel tzarech sheyechaven b'chol abrachos. When we pray, which is the main way in which we connect to the spiritual, when we pray, we have to be mindful. We have to have kavana in all of the brachos, in all of the blessings. V'im eino yachol lechaven bekulan. If you can't possibly have proper kavana in all of them, because that's too tall in order, apparently even ages ago it was too tall in order, then lefachos yachaven ba'avos. Then at least you should have kavana, at least you should be mindful, at least you should think carefully, understand what you're saying, understand what your frame of mind is for the beginning, for the first bracha. Skipping a little bit. Officially, continues, I'll tell you in a minute who this quote is from. It says, Vil im kiven bekulam velo kiven ba'avos. The halacha really is that if you have kavana in all the brachos, but you don't have kavana for that first bracha, shetzarech lachzor lihisbalo. You have to repeat your entire, dominant. But he writes, v'ha'idna, but nowadays, this is 700 years ago, nowadays, it's the turn of the century, the 14th century, v'ha'idna, einanu chozrim, bishvil chisaron kavana. But nowadays, we don't repeat the Shmona Esrei because of a lack of kavana, because of a lack of mindfulness, because of a lack of concentration. She'af bechazara, because the reality is, the likelihood is, given our challenges with having proper kavana, the likelihood is that the second time around, we're going to make the same mistake again. That even when we repeat Shmona Esrei the second time, for the sole purpose of having kavana for that first bracha, chances are we're not going to have kavana properly the second time through either. So, better off nowadays, now that we have trouble with Kavana in around the year 1400, nowadays it's not worth repeating Shmona Esrei again. So that is the challenge that faces us today, that Jews have been dealing with not just for years or decades, but for centuries, and probably for millennia. Because it's tempting or easy to fall into the trap of just going through the mechanics and not being mindful, not being present, not looking out for what we're actually trying to do, which is to connect to God, to actually have a conversation with God. This time of year, when we're just coming off Tekiyas HaShofar, just coming off the season that is, as the Rambam writes, Uru Yesheinu Mishinaschem, it's supposed to wake us up. It's supposed to get us into a frame of mind of saying, what are we doing? What is the purpose of every mitzvah? What is the purpose of our davening? What is the purpose behind this entire structure, this entire framework? It's supposed to be so that we can connect to God. Every mitzvah is such an opportunity. Every davening is such an opportunity. But we don't see them that way. So tonight we're going to try to address some of those questions. I think ultimately, to get us to where we need to be, an hour and a half from now, optimistically thinking, not just in terms of the time, but in terms of the goal, to get us there means that ultimately we want to be more mindful. We want to be eyes open, ears open, looking out for whatever the opportunities are. There's a story that Rabbi Pesach Krohn tells about a Jew named Moshe Cohn, who lived in Amsterdam and is a Kohen. And the Chevra Kadisha does very holy, sacred work in Amsterdam. And Moshe Cohn never had the opportunity to participate in any of the activities of the Chevra Kadisha. And he was jealous. He really wanted the opportunity to participate in this mitzvah. And so, as it happened, Moshe Cohn heard that the Chevra Kadisha is planning on opening a new cemetery. And he called up the head of the Chevra Kadisha and he said, I've been alive a long time. I've never had the opportunity to participate in any activity of the Chevra Kadisha. This is an opportunity I don't want to lose out on. Please, can I dig the first grave in the new cemetery? It's not halachically a cemetery yet, so a Kohen can go in there, can dig the first grave. And so it happened. Moshe Cohn, who for his entire life never had any opportunity to participate in this sacred mitzvah, this opportunity to connect to Hashem, he saw it and he seized it. But it takes being mindful. It takes being aware of what the opportunities are around us. Famously, Gene Weingarten, who's a Washington Post columnist, won the Pulitzer Prize for doing an investigative article 5.5 years ago, just under 6 years ago, where he made an arrangement with Joshua Bell, famous violinist, to park himself for 45 minutes in a subway station in Washington, D.C. during the morning rush hour commute. And Joshua Bell, playing a Stradivarius violin, $3.5 million violin, made in around 1713, playing incredible music, two pieces from Bach, and the same pieces that he had played to a sold-out theater just a couple of nights earlier, where the average ticket was $100, standing there for 45 minutes playing the most beautiful music with the most beautiful instrument with an incredible musician, with over 1,000 people passing by during those 45 minutes. Only 32 of them stopped to even put any money in his violin case. And he raised under $40 during the 45 minutes. Because we're not even aware of the beauty that's around us, the opportunities to connect, the opportunities to really grasp the beauty. The beauty in our families, the beauty in the mitzvos, the beauty in the davening, the beauty in every opportunity to connect, not just interpersonally and not just between God, but in all of those relationships. So our challenge here tonight, which God willing our panelists and our presenters will be up to, is the question of how can we become more mindful? How can we become more aware? How to take our interpersonal relationships more seriously, how to take our relationship with God more seriously, so that when we see those opportunities, we actually are aware of them. We actually can take advantage of those opportunities. The way Moshe Cohn did, the way those commuters in the Washington, D.C. subway station did not, and the way, unfortunately, so many of us on a daily basis struggle with this ongoing challenge. So that's the task that's before us. And thank you all for coming. Hopefully we'll be successful in rising to that challenge.
Thank you, Rabbi.